The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli. Mike. 97.5. We live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time. 2 to 6. Mikey Miss. 97.5. No matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you. Television, telephone, radio. Let's go. He got the city on lock. And it ain't a question. Been on top a long time. And he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him. But never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about y'all, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fade away from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that light save recording. Top shelf A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. There he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk author Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah. Mike Missinelli.
Yeah, Larry Stevens. It's the Friday Jam, Smooth Jam, Mike Missinelli Show on a Football Friday, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And we got to get down to the nitty-gritty here with a couple of our squads who are on life support. So let's start with the Eagles. Yes, life support. I never thought that they could lose the Cincinnati Bengals. The line is chipping down as we speak. And it's because of the injury. Fletcher Cox is not going to play, and the Eagles are all banged up, the offensive line. So the oddsmakers are saying that the Bengals have a chance in this game. It's 4.5 right now, Tyrone. 4.5 at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's a simple formula to win this game. I mean, it can't get any simpler. The Bengals can't stop the run. Now, we've seen this time and time again where you go, okay, this team doesn't do it. It's usually the Bengals, too, for some reason. I mean, in an Andy Reid game where the Bengals can't stop the run, and so they passed 60 times, was it?
Yep.
Yes, it was 60 times they threw the ball that day. So I don't know what Doug Peterson is going to do. I can only suggest that maybe it would be a good game plan to be run-centric in this game. They're the 30th ranked rushing defense in the NFL, the Bengals. They've given up 370 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. And they gave up 215 last week to the Cleveland Browns. Traditionally, they're bad against the run. Now, when you're starting guards in this game that are a little more inexperienced, I would think that plays into it as well. If your offensive line is a little shaky, I guess the way to cure him is the easiest thing to do is you run the ball and let him just plow people rather than have to think about pass blocking and blitzes and schemes and all that kind of thing. So we will see what happens in this game. Carson Wentz, if they run the ball, is not going to be called on to make the heroic plays that he's been trying to make in the first two games. I sit here and I go, it is so logical. If you run the ball, you're helping out your quarterback. If you run the ball, chances are you're going to have success. If you run the ball, chances are you're going to help your offensive line to run the ball. And it seems like a no-brainer. Now, that said, they'll probably throw it. Because I don't know. And now when it comes to Carson Wentz. So since here's the good news. I think it's good news. I don't know if it is or not, because I can't believe that he actually said this. He said, after playing probably his two worst games maybe as an Eagle quarterback, I'm as confident in myself and this team as I've ever been. Now, I think it's nice that he's trying to convince himself of that, but let's face it, that's not the truth. we do have that audio, yeah. I mean, this is one of those lines where you go, I'm as confident as I've ever been. Well, you're not, all right? Because if you are, you're going to play a lot better in the first two games. And frankly, how could you be confident in this team? Especially defensively, this team is not good. And we expected that that would be a staple. So when you dig into this game, do you actually think the Eagles can lose the game? I don't. I just don't think they can lose this game. So you do, Tyrone.
Yeah.
And so... The Eagles would seem to have an edge if they run the ball. So why don't you think they're going to win this game?
Because it's harder to run the ball if your defense is giving up a bunch of points. And I don't have any faith
in it. So you don't trust in the defense?
Not one bit. Not at all.
So it's not an offensive problem for you in this game. It's not a defensive problem.
Yes, in this game. Yes, I think Wentz is going to be better. I don't have proof, obviously. Uh-huh. I think Wentz is going to be better. But who's he throwing to exactly?
He's not throwing to anybody. That's why they have to run the ball 50 right. times.
So
it's another reason that you run the ball. Because so, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is going to play a big role, they say.
Right. So let's say they lose the toss or whatever it is, they defer. And Bengals come down, boom, 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 7-0. Maybe you run then.
Uh-huh.
Then they get the ball back, boom, 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 boom. A.J. Green, touchdown. 14-3. Not going to run the ball then. And now you got to pass to just tight ends, Deshaun, and a bunch of mutts. And for that reason, now I think they absolutely can lose. That's my thing. Carson has taken, as he should have, all the heat. But he's not the only problem. This defense so far has stunk, and it stunk against Washington, too. I know the short fields. You could have mixed in holding them to a field goal. Mm-hmm. They didn't they can't.
But there's another stat. See, two factors here on your point. All right, Burrow has played well the first couple of games, but we ran that stat yesterday where he hasn't played well against nickel and dime.
Right.
Now, that's what Schwartz likes to do. He likes to nickel and dime him.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be out there looking and seeing many defensive backs. And for a young quarterback, that's going to be hard to adjust to. Besides that, they really haven't run the ball. Even though they have Mixon, they really haven't run the ball that well. He's only averaging like 3 yards a carry, Joe Mixon.
Right.
So I got to think that both the offense and defense plays right into Cincinnati's hands. Like, the Eagles had the edge offensively, and they had the edge defensively, even though they haven't played well, because this defensive coordinator has been around for a really long time, and you got to figure that he knows how to stop a rookie quarterback at the very least.
I used to think that. He couldn't stop one in week one, hold him to field goals against Washington. He couldn't do that. And you know what else? I believe that there might be
some... Yeah, but he didn't do that because of the short fields. That's different.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's a factor.
I think, but see, we assumed that, oh, well, if the fields were short and if they had to go longer, the defense would have stopped them. Unfortunately, they didn't demonstrate any of that in the Rams game.
Yeah.
So that's still an assumption that I will not make until I see it with my own eyes.
Uh-huh. All right.
And the other thing is, I think there might be some bad passes that those receivers actually catch. Because in Philadelphia, we have learned that if the pass is off at all, even if it hits the guy's hands, he's not allowed to catch it. Because Wentz, some of those off-target throws hit Deshaun or Miles Sanders in his hands, and they failed to bring it in. I believe that Boyd and A.J. Green catch bad balls. So he might not be sharp against the Eagles' defense, but those receivers catch things that are in their radius. Eagles' receivers, it must be perfect. And I think that's another problem.
Okay. I can't dispute that. But now if we look at the whimsical side here, because now let's bring in the Phillies with this. So if you pay attention to the results last night, the Marlins won. The Giants lost. So the Giants loss absolutely helps the Phillies. The Marlins winning puts them a game up on the Phillies for that automatic spot, the second place spot in National League East. So it comes down to tonight, Vince Velasquez in a must-win situation. Now, you feel a little more comfortable with Wheeler and Nola, although they haven't delivered, and they're 0-4 in their last couple starts, right? So, Vince Velasquez tonight has to win the game, or their season is likely over. Now, is it possible that this is one of those dream sequence weekends where both Vince Velasquez and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside out of the blue come through? Because we're due something, right? We have been in misery. Yeah. Something, we are owed something good to happen, and that would be in that category. Like, unexpected, good, refreshing thing to have happen to Philadelphia sports. Velasquez, J-Jaw. How you feel?
You know what? I wore my Philly shirt today because I thought this might be the last time I get to wear a Philly shirt if the season does end this weekend.
Yep.
You know what? We are owed something.
Right. That the odds on both of them doing, really, it's a pipe dream, basically, what I'm talking about. But aren't we due a pipe dream?
We are. We deserve it. And it would be nice. Velasquez, you mentioned before the show that Velasquez is coming off his best start of the season.
Yes, and that's why they're most likely pitching him tonight instead of with the Booney plan, which was to give the guys short rest and win the games that you are must-win games with your best guys.
Right.
And don't take a chance with Velasquez.
Right, but he has been missing bats. That is a skill that's important. Like, he's never been able to do it consistently, but he's doing it right now. And Ortega Whiteside, there's no place to go but up. What, like, he had confidence allegedly during training camp. The team's back's against the wall. The coach is trying to inject him with confidence, like just got a syringe, and he's squeezing that bag into him of IV of confidence into him. You know what? It could happen.
All right, there you go. So there's the glimmer of hope. Relying on guys that normally aren't going to deliver hope. But I think the Eagles win the game because I think it's a simple formula for them to win the game, and they're at least up to that. The Phillies, I don't know. I was on the record yesterday saying if this guy gets through six innings, I'm going to do a headstand. So we'll see what happens.
I'm looking forward to it.
You're telling me, right, as we go into the break, you're saying that you don't think the Eagles will win.
I don't think the Eagles will win, though.
Natalie, do you think the Eagles win Sunday?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so,
I think Carson, so I'm still banking.
I guess we got to take the temperature of the fans. I think this is the perfect storm for the Eagles to win the game based on the weaknesses and strengths of the other team. I hope I don't get fooled. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Messinelli Show. That's how you get in. It's Football Friday, so Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock. And we're going to rock your calls. Eagles, Phillies are on the board. We'll talk about it after this.
The Mike Messinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The 4 o'clock hour, it's a big hour. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com.
This is The Fanatic Football Pool.
Yes, it is. And listeners, right now, call our contest line, 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. If you are lucky enough to be the fifth caller, you will get to play for the big prize. First of all, you'll get a quick $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook if you're the fifth caller. And then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. So what's in it? Well, $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. A fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete. A Poulin Pro 21-inch snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons. We've got the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4. A talking teddy bear for the movie Ted 2. The Godfather trivia game, a Peter Laviolette autograph mini helmet, and a full year's supply of snacks from Hers Snack Foods. Caller number 5, 215-263-0975. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on Football Friday, it's always a fun experience to talk to our next guy, who I think played a little football in his life. He is also brought to us by Landis Block and Concrete, and he is the great number 36. Brian Westbrook. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How are you?
Doing good, and I'm really interested to talk to you about this game, because this is a game that I believe is so fundamental for a game plan that the Eagles will win it, and I think they win it easy.
Really?
Yes.
You believe that, huh?
I do.
You know, Mike, I've been thinking about this thing. Here, I had three questions. I've been thinking about these three questions all day, and I'm going to answer your question. But here are just three questions I just can't get out of my mind. And, you know, so Carson signed his contract in 2019, right? June of 2019. So yes. It's been basically a year and a couple months that he's been under contract. And we all felt that he deserved this huge contract. Talking about people in Philadelphia saying he's the best quarterback that has ever played there. Ginger, Jesus, all these things. And from listening to the station all day long, pretty much all week long, now we have a lot of our fans, more than 50% of our fans saying, you know what? We're done with Carson Wentz. Forget about the guaranteed money. Forget about the contract. We want this unproven rookie quarterback that hasn't played, you know, a meaningful down underneath center in the NFL yet. We want this guy to start. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it also kind of shows you how bad Carson has been playing and the turnover that Carson has already committed. It's just disappointing, I guess, to see him play this way. But I also kind of think, are we really ready to go to a rookie quarterback at this point already?
No, absolutely not. So do you think it's a majority of fans that feel that way or just kind of like a pocket of Wentz haters?
Well, I tell you, there's an ultimate. Again, I've listened to the station all week long, and there's been a lot of calls coming in saying we weren't hurt. You know, Carson is broken and he can't be fixed. And that's probably the biggest thing. There are some people that feel that he's broken and can't be fixed. They feel that he can't stop turning the ball over, because that's been probably the biggest issue. Even if you have some errant throws, the inaccuracies, it's been the turnovers that have really lost football games for us. And so if that's the thing that I think a lot of fans are now believing Carson can't fix.
Well,
that,
I want
to. Yeah,
I definitely want to get your analysis on that in a couple seconds. But let me lay out why I think this is a kind of a fundamental win for them, right? And I'm counting on the coaches to study the same thing that I'm looking at, right? That this team they're playing cannot stop the run. So no. A run-centric offensive attack puts less strain on Carson to make these big plays that he's trying to make. They control the clock. They run the ball against a team that can't stop the run. It's a shorter throw to reach pay dirt for him at this point, where he doesn't have to make the monster throw. And defensively against a rookie quarterback, it's proven he has not done well against nickel and dime coverage, which is what Schwartz loves to do. So fundamentally, the game plan has to be simple to win this game.
Well, I think ideally it certainly would be simple to be able to win the game. And you have to be careful when you say, let's just run the ball. Mm-hmm. Because there's two variables there. If you're just running the ball, it's also putting into effect that your defense is playing well. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen our defense play well yet. We haven't seen our defense put us in the position where, you know what, they're just stopping teams over and over and over and giving us the ball back. And so that we can kind of slow the game down and run the football. We haven't seen that from our defense. And so there may be a problem there. The other part to that is, and this really goes in line with the defensive side of things, the other team can't be scoring a bunch of points. The Bengals scored 30 points last week. I mean, and of course it's against the Browns, but our defense hasn't played much better than the Browns' defense. Our defense hasn't just been lights out. We may be without Fletcher Cox, and if he does play, he'll be a little bit dinged up here and there. So, I mean, there are some issues there. I think that in the premise of your idea is correct, but it has to come to play that the defense plays well and the offense is able to get a big time or big chunk plays from the running game. And I don't know that we can do that.
All right, well, let me just give you a couple stats. Because this is what I'm relying on. If I'm a coach, I go, okay, I got to take this in consideration when I put together my game plan. Then I want to ask you about how the game plan is introduced to a team. But the Bengals are a terrible tackling team. They have allowed 187 rushing yards after contact. All right? So, and they're the 30th ranked rushing defense in the NFL. They just gave up 215 on the ground to Cleveland. So that's it. And now I hear what you're saying about the defense. So now let's go to that, because hand in hand.
Before you go any further, Cleveland has the best 1-2 punch of running backs in the league.
Okay.
Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I mean, they have a good set of running backs, and they have a quarterback that can't throw the ball very well. So I think we have to give them a little credit as far as Cleveland's ability to run the ball, and maybe you know, the Bengals' defense sucks too, but I think you certainly have to give them a little credit.
Okay, their corners also don't hold up in man coverage. They're allowing 10 yards per attempt, 16 yards per completion. But now let's go to the defense because it's a major point here. Now, Burrow has been really good against base defenses.
Mm-hmm,
he has a QBR of 80. But when five or more defensive backs are on the field, his QBR shrinks to 48.
Okay.
Now, Jim Schwartz has been in the league a long time, right? Now, I know you have to try to get some pressure with your front four, but this is a rookie quarterback who hasn't yet mastered when they flood the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for you?
Well, I think that you do the same thing that I thought we would do against Dwayne Haskins. Well, you do the same thing there. I mean, you put him in a situation where he's in third and long, second and long, and now he has to throw the football. Unfortunately, what we saw in the second half of the Washington game was Dwayne Haskins, a quarterback that's a year away from being a rookie, was able to find holes in our defense and score 27 straight points. We also saw, you know, last week in a situation where we couldn't stop anybody defensively either. So, I mean, all those things that you're saying are true. If we had a good defense, if we had a defense that can get off the field, we haven't seen that yet. Okay. We haven't seen our defense in a situation where they can show up in that way.
All right, hold on to that thought. We're going to play our Fanatic football pool right now because we have our fifth caller on hold. His name is Jim, and he's from Fishtown. Jim, do we have you?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike.
Hello, Jim. Congratulations. You win $100 right out of the chute from Parks Casino and Sportsbook, and you're now playing to be in the drawing for the grand prize of the pool filled with great prizes and gifts. Are you ready to answer your trivia question?
Yeah, I can't wait. Thank you very much.
All right, here we go. In the history of the NFL, only one team has gone through a perfect undefeated season. Which team did it?
I'm going to go with the New England Patriots.
Oh, it's incorrect, brother. Sorry, man. Thanks for playing. But it's incorrect. The 1972 Miami Dolphins went through a perfect undefeated season. The Patriots lost in the playoffs.
Yeah, and all those members of that team fraudulently get together every year when the last team loses.
Yeah, they root against them.
And they drink champagne together.
Yeah, they do. Is that a violation?
It's a huge violation.
Westbrook, is that a violation?
No, that's not a violation.
It's a negative celebration.
Well, no, it's a positive for them. It would have been negative if someone goes and has an undefeated season. It would be negative for them if that happened. Why would they be rooting for somebody else that they have no affiliation with?
Well, that's out of respect. Out of respect, they go, oh, well, that team did what we did. So like, I tip my cap to them.
Mike, when you, let's say you had a record in baseball, a strikeout record, 20 strikeouts in the game, whatever that is. Are you rooting for the next guy to go get 21? Absolutely not. You're like, yeah, I'm glad you didn't get 20. I appreciate it.
But I'm also not holding a party to put like some voodoo on them either.
Oh, well, they just want to hang out with the guys.
No, it's a real thing. I remember Mercury Morris was talking about it. Like, no, it's a real thing. And this is how I know Brian. This is where Brian is lying right now. You want to know how I know he's lying? Brian held a record. And when it got broken, Brian's response was, records are meant to be broken. Oh. I had to be pretty darn good to hold the record in the first place. But when the Dolphins do it, all of a sudden, Brian doesn't even act like that. And I don't even like Brian. Brian doesn't act like that.
Hey, well, you know, you don't act you like that. You got to say. I mean, you know.
No, you meant it.
You say what you got to say. All right, let's get back to this. I want to talk about the game plan. I want to talk about Carson and what you're seeing with your eyes. But so the game plan, how is it introduced to the team? Like you're a running back, right? Now this game, I would expect that the head football coach and his offensive game plan. All right, we're going to run the ball a lot more. We're going to be run centric and pass off of that. How is that introduced to you guys? And what's your reaction and how you practice that?
What happens usually on Wednesday, I mean, you still are going to put in the same amount of plays. You're going to probably put in, I don't know, 50 pass plays and 40 run plays normally, as a normal week. And this week, if you say that we're going to run the ball a little bit more. You'll still put in your 50 pass plays, but maybe you put in 50 run plays. So you add another an additional amount of run plays because you may have to get to those plays because of the amount of runs that you plan on making in the game. And then what happens in practice, and this is always a telltale sign of how Andy Reid thought for me. During practice, you start to see, are we passing 75% of the time in practice, or is it 50-50? If it's 50-50, then we got a chance of running the ball in the game. If we're playing against the Baltimore Ravens and they have big guys up front, Andy Reid already knew he wasn't going to run the football. So in practice, he began the processes of throwing the ball. And so the players on the team, we kind of got the understanding of exactly what the mindset of the coach and the game plan was going to be going into the game. And so the coaches, of course, the offensive coordinators, the guys that are introducing the plays, they're going to say, here's our game plan. And if you guys can swallow this game plan, understand it, then we can win the football game. We're going to run the ball a lot. The Bengals are giving up more yards on the ground than they are giving, passing, basically. And now we have to find a way to make sure that we get our run game going. Big men up front, offensive line, this game is won in the trenches. You guys have to have a great game for us to be successful. And, of course, Miles Sanders plays a big part in that as well.
Yeah, so give me an idea what Miles Sanders might be thinking. And also Boston Scott is thinking, because they're going to both, I think, get a lot of carries.
Well, if I'm Miles Sanders, it'll be simple. Because I look at the stats. I look at what defenses have done. I also look at what teams have done against the team that we're going to play. And if I'm just seeing the Browns rack up a bunch of yards with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, I'm expecting to run the football. I'm expecting to have the ball in my hands 20-plus times running the football. And I think Miles Sanders in this game is going to get 25 touches between the run and the pass. And so if I'm Miles Sanders, I'm thinking it's time for me to go. And really, if you listen to Deuce all offseason, you listen to a lot of things coming out of the Eagles, they all were saying Miles Sanders is going to be the torch. He's going to be the guy that's going to be carrying the load. And I'm not talking about just the running the ball load, but I mean for the offense. And so I think this game, obviously being one game removed from the injury type of thing that he dealt with in the first week of the season, now it's time to give Miles Sanders that ability to carry his football team. He had a good game last week. Now it's time to give him 20 carries, plus carries, and see how well he can do against a Bengals team that just can't stop the run.
When you know you're going to get the ball as a running back, how much did you obsess over ball control leading up to the game? Like, did you do anything? Did you carry, guys carry on the football constantly. They have the football.
Yeah.
Did you do any of that stuff? No.
I did none of those things. And for me, once you start thinking about fumbling and things like that, that's the type of thing that gets you to fumble the football, put it on the ground. Those habits just are built in practice over time. Over the course of your career, putting two hands on a ball in traffic, carrying the ball on your outside hand, stiff arming, tucking the ball close, having the 5 points of pressure. Those things are developed in practice. Those good habits are developed, and the coaches have to be talking to Miles Sanders about that too. He fumbled the ball with on his third touch last week. And so he has to be thinking about that as far as ball control. But I'm not doing anything silly like carrying the football around in the cafeteria like you saw. But I will tell you this. When I was in San Francisco, they had a fumbling problem on the team. I was barely playing. The quarterbacks were fumbling. Running backs were fumbling. Everybody was fumbling. And so Mike Singletary, he made everybody. So, as the guys are practicing, 11 guys are practicing on offense, 11 on defense, everybody else on the team. So the other 50 guys on the team all had to hold the ball. And so during practice, it was the dumbest thing ever, just personally. It was just stupid. Everybody else had to hold the ball. So the head coach is walking around trying to push the ball out. And if he pushed the ball out, he made you run a lap in the middle of practice. So now not only are you holding the ball, focused on holding the football, now if you fumble, you get the ball punched out. Now you're going to miss whatever reps of watching the reps, the mental reps, because you're running a lap around the doggone field. I mean, it was the worst. I mean, we had guys running all practice long. It was just
tough. That's like high school.
Oh, it was high school. We were 6-10 that year. It was like JV high school the entire season. It was bad.
Good high schools don't even do that.
Yeah.
No.
Because they're too busy practicing real stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you expect your players to be able to hold onto the football, and if they can't, then at that point, they have a similar bench.
Mike Singletary is your least favorite coach in the history of your playing days, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, it didn't work out. I like Mike Singletary as a man, very inspirational. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you need to get hyped for a game, he can do that. He gave great Saturday night speeches. It was just the part where we got into the game, and he just struggled at it. He wasn't there.
All right, let's look at Carson now and the problems that he is having. Now, Dan Orlovsky has done kind of a analytical look at him, but I'm curious to know what you see when you see the guy play football right now and why you think that it is possible that people say, well, he can't be fixed.
Well, I think I see a quarterback that feels the pressure just a bit at this point now. I mean, he's certainly feeling the pressure, but I also think back, I mean, I can't get this out of my mind, Mike. The last five games of last year, he looked like a total different guy. That was just last year. The last five games of last year, he looked like the guy that if you put some weapons out there, you put Jalen Reagor, you put DeSean Jackson, you bring back Ertz and Goddard healthy, you add a second year of Miles Sanders, now this team is ready to take off because of the play that Carson Wentz had the last four or five games of last season. And now we're seeing a guy that's not confident. We see a guy that questions his own ability. In my opinion, and I know Orlovsky said he's that front left leg is stiff, I feel like he's aiming the ball a whole bunch. Just aiming, trying to hit guys perfectly and aiming and just missing.
Mm-hmm.
It almost looks like he's not comfortable. He's not in the natural form. It's not fluid. And when I see that, I think of a quarterback pressing, trying to do too much. And I have to think that the part of having Jalen Hurts behind him may be playing a little part in his head. There were two people on the team that Andy Reid always kind of deferred to, but always never put too much pressure on because they're a mental side of the game that they have to play. One was a kicker. You never want to give your kicker too bad because those guys can literally win a game, lose a game for you. It's based on how they feel mentally, and your quarterback. You never want to put your quarterback in the situation where he's looking over his shoulder. There was a point where we brought in Jeff Garcia, and you know, Donovan, he wasn't happy about it. He wasn't pissed off about it, but he just kind of felt indifferent. But at that point, you know, because Jeff was a leader, he was successful at another team. And this is a little different to me, and Carson has to find a way, especially being a guy that saw Nick Foles win a Super Bowl, his backup, he has to find a way to get out of that headspace and get into the headspace where this team is depending upon him to win. And if he can't figure it out, we know that this team just doesn't have any hope for this season.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about this and get to your calls with Brian Westbrook, 610-622-0975. That's the number. Get in. We got two open lines right now. Grab them. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You gotta be faithing me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
Oh, yeah, it's time for Sound Off. Friday Sound Off. Wrap up the week with Sound Off and Sound Off line 610-771-9705. You got something to say? Hit us up on that line. Like over the weekend, if you're thinking of you got a thought you want to publish, just hit us up on that line and you may hear it on Monday Sound Off. But let's see what Friday Sound Off brings us.
From the negative borough of Norristown, Coach Ned Eagles!
defeated Alex Nixon, baby, with Patrick Joe Burrow, 497 yards, Joe Mixon, 220, 62, they love it, they're bad.
What was it? Was it Coach Ned?
Coach Negative Ned from Norristown. From the Fighting Borough of Norristown.
Fighting Borough of Norristown. That's a good Coach one. Negative Ned. I like it.
Dear football gods, I know our coach has the intelligence of Jonah before it was swallowed by the whale. But for this game, please grant him the wisdom of Solomon. And our quarterback, please guide his arm like that of David when he struck down Goliath. Oh, football gods, please grant me this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Or you could go, God, I don't ask you for anything. All right? Let me shoot 85 tomorrow, and that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside have a big game on Sunday.
Doug Peterson just said that he has all the confidence in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside on Sunday. Let me quote Nikolai Koloff from Rocky IV. It's all lies and false propaganda.
Nikolai Koloff was his manager?
Yeah.
Oh, that was his name?
I think so. I think that's
interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
That's obscure.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he picked him of all people.
Yeah.
Well, Monday is either going to be a day filled with hope and promise, or if the Eagles lose to the Bengals and the Phillies don't win these next three and get in the playoffs, I will have to start a new diet, a new exercise program, and pick up learning the guitar, because I'll have nothing else to do.
Well, stick with us. Starting next week, it's Godfather Radio!
Yeah, Mike McMahon got a raw deal here in Philly. I think he didn't have a good support cast. They could have coached him a little better. Maybe, you know, change the offense to utilize his strengths.
Yeah.
No, he said Mike McMahon was good.
I didn't hear the Mike McMahon part. He said Mike McMahon was good. Listen, man, I don't want to, like, rip the guy. He made it all the way to the NFL and a pretty good college career. He was horrendous. He was worse than, like, for his sample, like, he was worse than Bobby Hoying. There was Pat Ryan, who was just a schlub at that time with it, and Brad Gable.
But those were scrappy guys.
They were just survival guys that they had to go to.
This is Dave from Center City. If I may, some hyperbole, a short sonnet for you, if you will. Now, I have artistic ability in terms of the I am. Perhaps one would say the number one artist on your show. Your comments, sir.
Amazing! That's so good.
That's a great invitation to Dave. If you will. That's that all the time. That's awesome, man.
I used to think Carson would be remembered as the all-time greatest Eagles quarterback. Now I fear he'll just be remembered as an all-time cutting-edge fashion icon.
That's a response to that moron who critiqued him for the backwards hat on a Zoom call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There ain't no way I want to see D'Antonio here or Tyrone Luke. Now, your buddy Gargano,
who?
He says that D'Antonio should be the Sixers coach because he's a good X and O's guy. I don't see that a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, Italian names always the ones that get disrespected the most.
Well, so did the black name.
Why? Wow,
he went Tyrone Lue.
Oh, he went Tyrone Lue?
And he goes D'Antonio.
D'Antonio. A lot of people have been saying D'Antonio.
We're gonna blow this if he gets the job. He's going to go right in there with everybody else. We'll never get that name right.
No. Well, man, there's no O. Every time you got to have an O? All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of summer.
brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound dog gets on.
Good. See you later.
All right, two things. The new Draft Line show is coming up tonight, following this show from 6 to 7. With Jamie Lynch, Devon Gibbons, brought to us by DraftKings. And don't forget the Big Fanatic pregame show on Sunday. Devon Gibbons, Brian Westbrook, Derek Gunn, live from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. 10 to 1, get you ready for Birds and Bengals. I got the Eagles winning the game. I got them covering the game. Tyrone?
I have the Bengals winning 28-27.
Natalie?
I'm going to go Eagles 24, Bengals 16.
All right. Sounds good. Stay tuned for NBC Sports Philly with the Phillies pregame show. Everybody have a safe and a fun weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.